The rest of the story. Once upon an autumn time in a lush river valley, the country folk decided to have a foot race, a barefoot foot race. Men from all around, near and far, were invited to participate. And so those who wanted to watch the race could see it better, they chose to run it on a flat plain between two long grassy slopes. It was not going to be much of a race, really, only 200 yards or so, and only that one contest. But everyone looked forward to it with great excitement, and one man in particular, a fellow from the nearby town of Ellis. He was a cook, not a runner, and yet so enthusiastic was he about competing that upon learning of the occasion, he put down his utensils. He made the long walk through the pine-covered hills to the place where the race would be run. The cook could scarcely believe how many spectators had gathered. He had never seen so many people as those who crowded the grassy slopes on either side of the wide track. The starting point was marked by grooved limestone blocks, and there the cook waited, poised for the sprint, elbow to elbow with dozens of other eager competitors. A bugler stood close by, ready to signal the start. Then, with a terrific blast, the race was begun. The onlookers cheered. The sanded turf felt soft and warm beneath the runner's bare feet. The autumn air tasted pure and sweet, and the cook from Ellis ran like the wind itself. Halfway now, spectators cheering louder than ever. The cook and another sprinter are leading the race dead even. The cook pumps his arms harder, trying to propel himself into the lead. The other runner, his nearest rival, is falling back now, and the onlookers, leaping up as one, are roaring even louder than before as the young cook from Ellis, all alone, crosses the finish line. There's no shiny prize for the winner. Only the adulation of the assembled and a small crown of leaves presented by a little boy who announces proudly that he had cut the leaves himself from a nearby tree. And yet for the triumphant cook, the gift could not have been more treasured had it been made of gold. For thus in a beautiful river valley, long, long ago, began a wealth of tradition. With a solitary foot race, lasting perhaps 30 seconds, and a wreath of olive leaves, and a victorious young cook named Corabus. You see, the distance prescribed for that race, in local terms, was the length of a stade, the length of one stade. And so ever after, the rising embankments on either side of an athletic field would be called a stadium. For the quadrennial athletic extravaganza that sprang from that single foot race in the Grecian countryside in 776 years before Christ has long since outgrown its humble start. But in these days, as you watch the multitude of athletes competing in their spectacular and widely various satellite televised events, you will recall the gentle beginning of it all, the race in the river valley of a place called Olympia. For perhaps at some point over the past week or so, you've wondered what was the origin of the word Olympics. Well, now you know. For now you know the rest of the story.